Good afternoon. My name is Tyler Tolles, and I'm a first year's master's student at Mississippi State University under the direction of Dr. Ketchott and Dr. Gore. Today I'm going to be talking about the landscape level contributions of Helicoverpa zea in corn, cotton, soybeans, and mixed production systems. So as an introduction, since we began to commercialize the BT crops, producers have been able to cut back on foliar sprays and also improve yield with doing so. A few success stories in cotton: we've had great control of the tobacco budworm, the pink bollworm, army worms, and loopers. We have pretty good control of the cotton bollworm. When it comes to corn, we had great control over the borer complex. We have pretty good control over the corn earworms in the whorl stage, but when it comes to ear stage, it varies by technology. And when it comes to soybean, we have no current BT varieties that are registered for use in the United States. So refuges, they're a way to belay resistance. It's in case, this picture right here shows that if you have, in the rare occurrence that you have an adult come out of the BT, and we hope that it will mate with one of the susceptibles that comes out of the non-BT, producing a group of susceptible heterozygotes. The refuge systems are important to maintaining this important technology of these traits. So when it comes to cotton, there's no refuge requirement, structured refuge requirement when it comes to cotton. We rely on natural refuges such as wild host and soybeans. There's a list of what we currently have on the market now and the traits that are listed. We have a lot of the two-stack traits, but we got the new traits, the Wide Stripe 3 and the Twin Link Plus, are both triple-stack traits with the new VIP gene. So when it comes to corn and cotton growing areas, it's required that there's a 20% structured refuge. And there's a picture on screen right here that has some of the common methods that people plant refuges. But when it comes to non-cotton growing areas, there's only 5% refuge requirement, and a lot of that, especially in the Corn Belt, they use the refuge in the bag system. The refuge in the bag is just, it's your 95% BT traded corn seed, and then you've got 5% non-traded corn seed. The good thing about refuge in the bag is it forces compliance, because a lot of people don't want to plant a refuge for it just to get eaten up. So a little bit about the pest. It's the Helicoverpa zea. It's noctuid. It's highly polyphagous. Feeds on a lot of broad leaves and a lot of grasses. Early instars are cream colored with a black head capsule, and the color varies on what they eat. Adults are light yellow in the dark centered spot on the wings. It's an easy way to tell. Generations depend on location. We have about 5 in the mid-south. Going up north, you have less, and going down south, you'll have up to 7 or more. They'll lay up to 3,000 eggs per female, and they deposit those on the silks, which will then hatch in 3 to 4 days. The larvae will hatch out of the egg, sometimes feed on the egg, and then start feeding down into the ear. They will become cannibalistic as they mature, so it's very common for you to see only one in there in the ear if you pull back an ear of corn. So when it comes to pupation, the mature larvae will drop to the ground, burrow down a few inches, and they'll pupate for about 2 weeks. They'll emerge and they'll begin laying eggs almost immediately, 2 days after they come out of the ground. So for the damage, they attack both the whorl and the ear. As I mentioned, they're tougher on the ear than they are the whorl because of our BT traits. They will clip off silks, and that'll lead to some yield loss because you're losing kernels every time they clip off the silk. A lighter feed on the inside tip of the ear, and they'll exit the ear and move to the soil to pupate. So due to time constraints, these are my objectives. I will only be talking about the first objective, identifying landscape level contributions of the Helicoverpa zea in BT and non-BT field corn. However, I did work with oviposition preference of the Helicoverpa zea, larval survival, and adult contribution in both BT and non-BT soybeans and cotton. So for materials and methods, our 16 field trial was conducted on the Monsanto Learning Center. This was the case because we had a lot of regulated material, then it was just a whole lot easier to do it that way. This was in Bolivar County, Scott, Mississippi. So for the first objective, our materials were three separate varieties of corn were used. Roundup Ready, it's just non-BT. The BT Double Probe has two modes of action on the corn earworm, and Tracepta, which has three modes of action on the corn earworm. Like I said, Roundup Ready, it's just the Roundup Ready 2 trait, has no BT genes, but it's resistant to glyphosate. The Double Pro has two modes of action, the Cry1A105 gene protein and the Cry2AB2 protein. They both selectively attack the mid-gut lining, and the stack gene makes resistance development a lot less likely. So the Tracepta 3 modes of action has, it just adds one more gene to the BT Double Pro. It adds the VIP3A20. It attacks a third binding site, making resistance that much more unlikely. These are my treatments. We had 100%, one treatment, 100% Roundup Ready 2 corn, no BT at all. We had one treatment of 100% BT Double Pro corn, one treatment of 100% Tracepta corn, and then we added a treatment of 90% Tracepta with a 10% Roundup Ready 2 refuge, and this is refuge in bag, and then an 80% Tracepta corn with 20% refuge in bag. And these were all intents to keep our moths inside so we could count. So for the cages, the plots were 33.5 meters in length, 20.7 meters wide, these 20 rows, 38-inch rows. 9.1-meter alleys were implemented in between plots. The data was analyzed using ProcGlimix and SAS version 9.4, and it was replicated twice. So prior to us building and placing these cages, we allowed natural infestation on the silks. After infestation, tents were placed over each plot, and black lights would be placed in each tent and checked weekly for emergence. This is a video of the construction. That is one cage you're looking at. They're absolutely massive. However, this is the picture that makes you glad you're not in construction. This was 10 minutes after we got the first five up. We had 60 to 70 mile an hour wind just come through and knock them all down. And this was 1,500 man hours of work right here. So, plan B. What we did instead, Dr. Gore and Dr. Cook told me that they had these cages. So what we did instead was came in, knocked down a row of corn, and completely covered the row in the emergence cages. So once we started seeing the larvae emerge, we came in and we were taking weekly counts. There's little cups in the top that you can see in the middle that would catch the moths, and we came in every week, just took the top off and counted the moths. So here's a video of us sampling. The emergence traps were 1.5 meters by 1.2 meters. There were 25 traps per treatment. Adults were collected in the cups, and we just came in, took tops off like the video shows, and counted the adults. So what you're seeing here, this is the total moths per treatment in multiple technologies. So you can see right here at the beginning, this is when we first started checking. We had very high emergence coming out of the Roundup Ready. Right behind it was the BT Double Pro, and then the Tracepta with the 20% refuge and the 10% refuge. And I want to mention that the Tracepta by itself had zero across the entire sampling day. And that's 4 months worth of sampling. So this is across all sampling dates. Now this is the total number of moths that we collected. So this is per hectare also. So Roundup Ready, we saw 8,400 moths come out of it. And what's kind of intriguing here is the BT Double Pro looks like it's only running about 50% efficiency. And we were not expecting to see that many moths come out of BT Double Pro. However, if you look at the Tricepta, the 80-20, that's running about, that 20% refuge is running about right. And the 10% Tricepta refuge, or 90% Tricepta with 10% refuge, that's running about a little over 10%. So the refuge in the bag is actually, it's actually doing what we, you know, expect it to do. And that Tricepta has zero total. So in summary, data will provide the valuable information that we need to look at when it comes to BT corn traits and evaluating potential for the refuge in the bag. Ultimately, the combined data will better help these modelers when it comes to evaluating specific crop contributions of Helica rhopressaea populations. And the refuge in the bag will ultimately promote compliance in the area of refuge requirements. So for acknowledgments, I want to acknowledge my major professors, Monsanto for the funding, Mississippi State University, my fellow graduate students and student workers. And I'll be taking any questions now.
We have several minutes for questions.
Yes, sir. Okay, and I missed that. The question was, what was going on in the emergence in November? So right here where we're seeing this, we had, and we've seen this before, Dr. Cook has done some research and found this. Right at the 4th, we called a rain, and we saw some late emergence, and we saw some very high numbers come out after that rain. So, you know, we can see right there for 2 months we didn't get anything, and then right there after that rain, we had like 50 moths come out of the ground. No, sir, it did not. Yes, sir. So the question was, how would, can you repeat that?
How would that finding actually play out given that not all of those are the same traits?
Yeah. Okay, so I guess it would come down to what's planted, and with the VT, with the double pro and maybe the triple pro, I mean, we would still see a lot of moths come out of it, but with what people are planting now with the triple pro, I'm not so sure that, I mean, we wouldn't see the same numbers, but yeah, I don't think it would be too far off. For what now? Oh. You know, I don't know. I can't really answer that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.